Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome to today's broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick and I'll be with you for the next half hour. In a few moments, I'll be bringing you the latest on Pope Benedict XVI's pastoral journey to France, which takes him on Saturday afternoon to Lourdes. I'll be sharing with you a conversation with the English language chaplain in Lourdes. I'll be speaking to a priest who leads diocesan pilgrimages from England to this Marian shrine at the foot of the Pyrenees. And finally, I'll be presenting episode 4 in Jill Bevilacqua's radio drama, The Bernadette Story. Well, thanks so much for joining me once again. On Saturday afternoon, Benedict XVI arrived in Lourdes from Paris for the second part of his four-day pastoral visit to France on the occasion of the 150th anniversary of the apparitions of Our Lady in this shrine nestling at the foot of the Pyrenees. Joining the many pilgrims awaiting him there, let's listen to some of their voices.
Coming to the shrine, bathing in the water, especially for the sick, it brings everybody together because we have many helpers, brancardiers, nurses, doctors, priests and bishop, and it brings the whole diocese together. So I think that's what's the attraction.
But coming to Lourdes, it kind of makes you more aware of how special God is in your life, because he's been so good to us, you know, whereas you have people that are exceptionally sick, you know, and they come here for help. It goes back to giving back, you know, giving back to people, I suppose. I suppose it's the whole circle of life, you know, you just kind of keep giving.
What really is exceptional to Lourdes is coming down to the grotto at maybe 12:30, 1 o'clock at night. The stillness after all the hustle and bustle of the day, there is when people just find it emotional, open up, have their real personal encounter with Our Lady. I don't think you can bottle it or bring it home or do it anywhere. And that's what brings people back again and again, to give and help during the day, but have their own quiet time in the middle of the night.
The Massabielle Grotto our pilgrim talks about is where Our Lady once appeared to little Bernadette, and indeed is one of the places on the Jubilee Way the Pope visited upon his arrival in Lourdes. As a pilgrim, of course, Philippa Hitchin reports.
From the parish church where Bernadette was baptised, to the cold, cramped room where she lived with her family, to the rocky grotto where Our Lady appeared to her, and the chapel where she made her first Holy Communion. These four steps around the town of Lourdes celebrate key moments in the life of Saint Bernadette, and in this anniversary year, up to 8 million pilgrims are expected to come and pray here, collecting four coloured stickers to place on round commemorative medallions. But on Sunday afternoon, the townsfolk and visitors from across the globe turned out in their tens of thousands to welcome a very special pilgrim who had come to confirm them in their faith and talk about the central role of Mary, like Bernadette, another young country girl who heard the voice of the Lord and dedicated herself to answering his call.
Marie, toi qui as dit au serviteur de Cana, faites tout ce qu'il vous dira.
Though the weather had been cold and damp all day, cheering crowds lined the steep, winding streets through the town. As the Popemobile made its way down to the rocky grotto by the river where the apparitions took place. Stopping first at the parish church of the Sacred Heart where Bernadette was baptized, the Pope knelt in silent meditation and recited the first prayer for this Jubilee Way.
Seigneur, par le baptême, tu m'as ouvert la porte de ton royaume. Chez Bernadette, ce baptême a porté d'admirables fruits de sainteté. En cette année du Jubilee des apparitions, que mon pèlerinage en ce lieu me renouvelle dans la grâce de mon baptême Amen.
Though the original church burnt down in a fire, the modern one with its white stone arches and stained glass windows telling the story of Bernadette's life does contain the original grey stone font and a copy of her baptismal certificate on the wall above. Next, the Pope made his way to the nearby Place Peyramale and walked a short distance along the narrow cobbled road which houses the cachot, the one-room hovel where Bernadette and her family lived in poverty after her father lost his job as a miller. It was such a damp and unhealthy room that it served first as a military prison, but was then deemed not fit even for prisoners to inhabit. Black and white photographs of Bernadette and her parents are kept in the corridor leading to this room, together with her worn wooden clogs, her rosary, and a rough wool cape she used to try and keep herself warm. Finally, the Pope made his way down to the focal point of this town, the rocky grotto of Massabielle, close to the river, where Our Lady appeared to Bernadette a total of 18 times in the spring and summer of 1858.
Sainte Marie, Mère de Dieu, priez pour nous pauvres pécheurs, maintenant et à l'heure de notre mort.
Bishops from across France were on hand with pilgrims from all over the world, many elderly, sick or in wheelchairs, who joined the Pope in reciting the rosary before he walked into the grotto where a small spring bubbles up. There he drank from what many people believe to be the healing waters, watched over by a statue of the beautiful lady, dressed in white with a blue sash and a yellow rose on each foot, as Bernadette herself first described her. Though the Pope may be commemorating events that took place a century and a half ago, he was at pains to point out that the message of Lourdes is just as relevant today for all those seeking support and comfort amidst the difficulties of their daily lives. In Lourdes, with Pope Benedict, I'm Philippa Hitchin.
Meanwhile, at this Marian shrine, Philippa Hitchin is surrounded, as you might expect, by pilgrims. Among those she spoke to is an English priest leading a diocesan pilgrimage.
My name's Father Jerry Breen. I'm a priest of the Archdiocese of Birmingham in Britain. I am the director for the Birmingham Pilgrimage, but also the president of the Association of Lourdes Pilgrimage Directors for Great Britain.
So you're a fairly regular down here in Lourdes, aren't you?
Yes, I am, yes. It's a privilege to be here so often too.
You've been here how many times this year already?
This is my fourth visit.
And you come with a diocesan pilgrimage on each occasion. Tell us a little bit about how many people would come to that, what sort of people would want to come here.
I come with the diocesan pilgrimage every May, and we normally would bring just over 1,000 people in a normal year. But this year, being the 150th anniversary, we were over 2,000 pilgrims from the diocese. And that's been the case across all diocesan pilgrimages who came to Lourdes this year. And it's a cross-section of the diocesan family that come to Lourdes. Youngsters, our schools are represented, many priests come, and a good cross-section of parishioners too. So it really is the diocese coming to Lourdes as a diocesan family.
And would you bring many sick people here as well?
Yes, we would. We'd bring, for the Birmingham pilgrimage, although some pilgrimages may bring more, we'd bring about 50 sick pilgrims who would stay in the Acai Notre Dame. But this year we had over 500 sick pilgrims who were staying in hotels.
Many of the people coming here, the sick people particularly, would be looking perhaps if not for a miracle but for some kind of support, some kind of answers perhaps to the problems that they're suffering from.
I wouldn't say that was true. I think the thing about sick pilgrims in Lourdes, they're part of the normal church as they are at home, but here it's all normal. Words like handicapped here aren't strange words, it's not strange language. And the sick come here to be part of the church at prayer, and the majority of them would not be seeking cures or miracles or perhaps understanding, because all pilgrims come seeking understanding and with questions to Lourdes. And the majority of the sick, I don't think, would come here looking for cures or miracles, and a lot of them would not have illnesses that would be cured by miracles. There are many illnesses people bring to Lourdes, spiritual ones as well as physical ones. And so I don't think the miracle of Lourdes happens in lots and lots of ways for all pilgrims and not necessarily the dramatic ones in the physical sense.
And our thanks there go to Father Breen and, of course, to Philippa Hitchin. But now let's join a familiar figure for many among the English-speaking pilgrims currently visiting Lourdes, a welcoming figure. He's chaplain to the shrine, and his name is Father Martin Moran. I caught up with him before Pope Benedict's arrival at the shrine on Saturday afternoon. Father Martin Moran, you belong to the Order of the Oblates of Mary Immaculate. Is there a specific reason for your serving as a chaplain in Lourdes?
Well, there's a specific reason, Veronica, in the sense that the Oblates were asked to take on the chaplaincies for the various language groups a number of years ago, and my own home province of the Anglo-Irish province was asked to supply the English language chaplain coordinator. You know, it fits in with our own charism. And having Mary Immaculate as our patroness.
The apparition at Lourdes is connected to Mary Immaculate, no?
Yes, it is, because if you remember from the story of the apparitions, the lady, as Bernadette called her, the thing, the Aquero, didn't speak for a few of the apparitions, and then Bernadette was asked by the parish priest, ask her who she is, ask her to tell you who she is. And she said in the local dialect, I am the Immaculate Conception. And that was just a short time after that dogma had been pronounced by the Pope that Our Lady was the Immaculate Conception. So it is very closely linked with the dogma, and it gave affirmation and confirmation to that, the apparitions here in Lourdes.
Lourdes is viewed as the shrine of water, of a miraculous spring, now with powerful healing energy. Do pilgrims go there to be physically healed from sickness or disability, or does the healing go beyond that?
Well, no, if I could just clarify something, Veronica. The water itself isn't looked on as miraculous. It was a miraculous event that the spring came forward whenever Our Lady asked Bernadette to dig at the earth, and she had to try about four times, and first of all the water ran quite muddy, and then it ran clear, and that spring has been running since the time of the apparitions. But the waters themselves are not curative or healing. It all depends on the faith of the individual. And yes, many people do come to Lourdes looking for physical healing. They do, but many more come just asking God to help them live their lives as best they can, and they leave Lourdes. And we talk about miracles that have been declared formally by the church, but many, many people would say that every day there are miracles here at Lourdes, and I'm not saying that in any flippant way, but you know, people are touched deeply by God and are very aware of his presence in their lives.
Lourdes is currently celebrating its Jubilee year, marking as it does a century and a half since Our Lady appeared to Bernadette there, no?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
And there's a monthly calendar of events, I believe, outlined for the occasion. I noticed it's not just about Mary, the sick, the disabled, which is what you would expect, but it's also about sharing the life of the church more in general. Why is that, do you think?
I think because Lourdes was never something that was meant to be inward-looking, and looking at the celebrations for the 150th anniversary of the apparitions, we were asked, you know, to think on what Lourdes is meant for today. What is Lourdes about? It's about sharing the gospel with the 21st century and the aspects of the gospel that are manifested in Lourdes. And Bishop Jacques Perrier, the Bishop of Tarbes in Lourdes, he put forward what he's calling 12 missions that will be highlighted at various times during the year. Missions of the church, but as I say, that Lourdes would feel it has a certain expertise in helping to further the gospel today. And that's the wonderful thing about Lourdes. It's nothing about it is contrary to the gospel.
What are these missions exactly?
For example, a large conference of the international gathering of the people who come here to help in Lourdes, knowing as the Hospitalier, and that is the church in mission with its volunteers in the service of others. And that's, you know, very appropriate for today, very appropriate for Lourdes. Another mission is the church in mission with Mary. We are called to follow the example of Mary and to give our yes to God as she gave her yes, or to God through the angel. Another mission is the church and mission with young people, how we can help young people to discover Christ in their lives and to be a part of the church and to be the church not just of tomorrow, as often people say, but the church of today also. Another one that is very much associated with Lourdes is people who do come here looking for physical healing, and one of the missions that we have is the church and mission with people with disability. Another one that I've just looked at here is the church and mission for peace. Again, working for peace, in our own world, between countries and within ourselves. So as I say, that's just a few of them, but there is a website dedicated especially to the Jubilee year, and all the missions will be found on that website. And if I may give it to you, it's Lourdes2008.com, and that will give you all the information about the Jubilee year.
Our thanks there go to Father Martin Moran of the Oblates of Mary Immaculate, the English language chaplain for the shrine at Lourdes. And it's time for episode 4 of our radio drama, The Bernadette Story, written by Jill Bevilacqua. Today, this 6-part series, produced by Sean Patrick Lovett, continues to recount the difficulties encountered by Bernadette, the doubts of those around her as to the reality of the apparitions of Our Lady to her, especially as the media across France was beginning to report on them.
Have you seen the Paris Times? The Blessed Virgin appears to a Lourdes schoolgirl. And this is a serious newspaper of the 19th century.
They're a gullible folk around, all right.
Well, I think it's a charming fairy tale. Why shouldn't the goddess Diana or Venus not appear to a poor shepherdess or the daughter of a commercial traveller?
Well, what you say may go down in Paris, but as a good Catholic, I find this story of apparitions in Massabielle a downright scandal.
Well, for me, it's a well-contrived trick. What do you think?
And so she went off at crack of dawn because her mother didn't want anyone to know.
I thought she'd stopped her going.
She had. But you know Madame Millet. She gives Louise work sometimes, so she couldn't refuse her.
So just the two of them went to
the
grotto?
No, Antoinette went as well. You know, she's old Millet's dressmaker. With paper and pen for Bernadette.
Paper and pen? But Bernadette can't even write a name.
I know. But Madame Millet wanted to know the lady's name.
Ah.
So Bernadette had to ask her to write it down.
And did she?
No, she apparently laughed at the idea.
Did she actually say anything?
Oh, yes. She said she wanted Bernadette to come to the grotto every day for a fortnight.
Oh, a fortnight? Oh, and did she say anything else?
Yes, she said, let me see, I do not promise to make you happy in this world, but in the next.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Do you ever hear anything like that?
Oh.
So she's seen this lady more than once.
Oh, yes. 5 or 6 times, it seems.
Yes, and every time there are more people. A friend of mine took his daughter down last Sunday, and he said there were nearly 100 of them.
If you ask me, the police are going to find themselves with trouble on their hands if it goes on like this.
It's a bit much. They say it's up to me, the mayor, to stop the demonstrations down at the grotto. What do they expect me to do? Put the Blessed Virgin Mary behind bars? It's not my job. It's up to the Imperial Procurator. The state is the state, and the town council is the town council.
May I make a humble suggestion, Your Honor?
Pray do, Chief Commissioner.
I deal daily with thieves, vagabonds, drunkards, and rascals of every kind. I know something about it. One acquires a certain technique in frightening people and putting them under pressure. It'd take the devil himself to stop me from frightening little Soubirous. If we can stop her from going to the grotto, then the ghost is laid. I ask you then, Mr. Mayor, to entrust this case to me.
Jacquemet, you're a genius. I give you carte blanche.
Your honor.
Ah, then that's taken care of. Now, let's get back to serious business. Let's see now.
Come over here. Come on, now then. Sit down. Now, your name is?
Bernadette.
Bernadette what?
Soubirous.
Your father?
François.
Your mother?
Louise.
Louise what?
Soubirous.
No, her name is a girl before marriage.
Castero.
Good, good girl. Your age?
13 or 14.
13 or 14?
I don't know.
Can you read and write?
No, sir.
Don't you go to school?
Not always.
What do you do then?
I look after my little brothers.
You go to catechism?
Yes, sir.
Have you made your first communion?
No, sir.
Well, now, Bernadette. So, you see the Blessed Virgin.
I've never said I see the Blessed Virgin.
Ah, good. You haven't seen anything.
Oh, yes, I did see something.
And what did you see?
Something white.
Something? Or someone?
That thing has the shape of a little lady.
You say, that thing. And didn't that thing say, I am the Blessed Virgin?
That thing didn't say it.
But that's what they're saying in town. It seems it's even in the newspaper. Well, now, let's go back to the beginning. You went to gather firewood. You had to cross the stream. You didn't feel like wetting your feet. You stopped in front of the grotto, and then you heard a noise like a gust of wind, and that thing appeared. Right?
Yes, sir. It was just like that.
Were there other girls with you when you saw it?
Yes, sir.
They didn't see it?
No, sir.
And how do you know?
They told me.
Why didn't they see?
I don't know.
But this lady, this young girl, how is she dressed?
A white robe, tied with a blue sash, a white veil on her head, and a yellow rose on each foot, a rosary in her hands.
And is she beautiful?
Oh, yes, sir. Very beautiful.
How old?
Young.
And what about the nuns? Did you tell the nuns?
Oh, yes. I told Mother Superior and the sister at the sewing.
And they said?
You mustn't believe it. You were dreaming.
Sensible women. Yes, my child, you were dreaming, all right.
No, I was wide awake.
You thought you saw.
No, I rubbed my eyes.
A reflection deceived you.
But I've seen that thing several times, and even when it was growing dusk. I can't be mistaken.
And what about the other girls? They have eyes, too. Why didn't they see?
I don't know, but I know that I saw.
Now, listen, Bernadette. Everyone's laughing at you. They say you're crazy in your own interest. You must not go back to the grotto again.
I've promised to go for a fortnight.
You haven't promised anyone because you made a mistake. Come on now. Be reasonable. Give me your word that you won't go back anymore. All right, then. Now, let's see what you have told me. Now, then. The Virgin smiled at me.
I didn't say the Virgin, sir. You've changed my words.
You be quiet. Good for nothing. You make everyone run after you.
I didn't tell anyone to come.
Oh, yes. You like showing yourself off.
No. I'm tired of it.
Oh, you listen to me, Bernadette. You've got yourself mixed up in a nasty business. I want to resolve this thing between the two of us. But on one condition. You must admit that you never saw anything.
Sir, I did see. I can't say the opposite.
At least promise me you won't go back to the grotto. It's your last chance.
Sir, I promised I'd go back.
Very well, then. You've brought it on yourself. I shall call the guards and have them take you off to jail.
You were listening there to part four of the Bernadette story, a radio drama written by Gilbert Villacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett. You can hear the next in this six-part series at this same time tomorrow. Finally, if you ever wanted to know how to say Lourdes in Latin, please stay tuned and join our popular Latin lover, Carmelite Father Reginald Foster.
Lourdes is la pordum.
So, in 1858, when a young lady by the name of Bernadette Soubirous...
Bernardula, little Bernadette.
Mm-hmm. A young lady?
Puella, Bernardula, go on.
A simple peasant girl.
Uh-huh.
How do you say that?
Rustica, simplex Puella.
Claimed that the Virgin Mary had appeared to her on 18 occasions.
Oh, many. Aseverabat... Sibi se videndam de disse Virginem Mariam duo de vicies. 18 or duo de vicies. It's kind of hard to say in Latin.
Investigations failed to shake her narrative. How do you say that?
Narrationem eius investigationes evertere vel concutere non poterant.
Now we got to the last line of my potted history of Bernadette Soubirous. How do you say potted history?
What does potted mean?
Appressi.
Okay, I understand, yeah. Capitulatim est historia mea. So capitulatim dicta or something.
So the capitulatim dicta, the last sentence of the capitulatim dicta, uh-huh, is a spring with miraculous healing properties that appeared at the same time, that was in 1858, began to draw invalids from all over the world.
Fons cum virtute quadam salutifera...
That's healing.
Salutifera, fabulosa, miraculous.
Oh, fabulous.
Fabulosa,
that's
salutifera...
That's where we get fabulous from.
Certainly, that people talk about that.
We used to talk about the Beatles as a Fab Four.
Okay. Cum virtute, with power. Cum virtute fabulosa salutifera. What happened to the spring? I didn't finish the sentence. A spring with these healing powers did what? Appeared,
yeah.
Ah, quae eodem tempore emersit.
Began to draw invalids from all over the
world. Cepit infirmos undique gentium aducere.
Mm-hmm. Now I've got a concept for you here to translate. As always, when there are alleged miracles, there was some red tape. How does one say red tape in Latin?
Oh, red tape. We would probably end up saying officiorum impedimenta. Impediments of the office, you know, bureaucratic impediments.
Before it got ecclesiastical recognition.
Officiorum impedimenta, antequam bene, antequam autoritate ecclesiastica est comprobata.
You were listening there to Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, the Pope's own Latinist. And that brings us up to time. I do hope you enjoyed this broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Should you wish to check out our website, the address is www.vaticanradio.org.
You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudator Jesus Christus.